And good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, May the 6th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book on page 36 in More About Alcoholism, the first paragraph at the top of the page, Yet He Got Drunk Again, through one paragraph ending another sandwich and decided to have another glass of milk. The comments are on this one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Julie E.B., the 12 Traditions, Joanne L., and the readers of the text are Stephen G. and Leslie M. The share ID for Tuesday, May 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,433. That's 23433. And Wednesday, May 6th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,437. That's 23437. Our newcomer greeter is Bonnie B., and our announcements person is Shelley E. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Oh, our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to read the 12 steps of OA. And good morning, Julie. Press star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we are powerless over food and our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much. That's Julie E.B., and she's from Colorado. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service today, and welcome to everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered by the grace of God. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Joanne L. from Rhode Island. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. And then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 36 in More About Alcoholism, the first paragraph, Yet He Got Drunk Again, through one paragraph ending with another sandwich and decided to have another glass of milk. And I will now ask Stephen G. to read that paragraph and comment on it. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Page 36. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Yet he got drunk again. We asked him to tell us exactly how it happened. This is his story. I came to work on Tuesday morning. I remember I felt irritated that I had to be a salesman for a concern I once owned. I had a few words with the boss, but nothing serious. Then I decided to drive into the country and see one of my prospects for a car. On the way, I felt hungry, so I stopped at a roadside place where they have a bar. I had no intention of drinking. I just thought I would get a sandwich. I also had the notion that I might find a customer for a car at this place, which was familiar, for I had been going to it for 3 years. I'd eaten there many times during the months I was sober. I sat down at a table and ordered a sandwich and a glass of milk. Still no thought of drinking. I ordered another sandwich and decided to have another glass of milk. Such a great paragraph. So, in the preceding chapters, we've learned that compulsive overeating is an illness. And then a doctor's opinion, we learn about the first part of the disease, which is the physical part, the allergy of the body. There's certain foods, ingredients and behaviors that produce this phenomenon of craving we can't stop. And now we're being introduced to the second part of the disease, which is the mental obsession, which is the real problem. Once we stop, regardless of what complications, problems we've had from this disease, we always start again. And in the previous paragraph, this we're told that Jim had made a beginning. They had told him what they knew of alcoholism. So they explained the disease to him. So he had some knowledge about it. And he made a beginning, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. So they don't tell us exactly what that means, what he did or what he didn't do, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And we learn that we're blocked from this spiritual life, this power that can solve our problem by this thing called self. And when we put down the food, we become restless, irritable, and discontent. So we go out into the world and stuff starts to bother us and we start to get blocked. And this book teaches us how to unblock ourselves and reconnect to that power. And it says here, this is just this first line where I remember I felt irritated that I had to be a salesman for a concern I once owned. And that's a resentment. He's starting to get blocked from his higher power. But he either doesn't know how to deal with it or he's unwilling to deal with it. And I know that for me, within Overeaters Anonymous, I made a beginning several times, but I wasn't either I didn't know or I wasn't willing. Either I hadn't completely put down the food or I wasn't willing to do step four. I wasn't willing to get a sponsor or I wasn't willing once I'd done step four through nine, I wasn't willing to continue to take personal inventory. And so I would get emotionally uncomfortable. And it says he had a few words with the boss, but nothing serious. So again, another resentment, probably a harm's done, perhaps an amend that needed to be made. But he's either unwilling or he doesn't know how to deal with it. And I've experienced this over and over and over in my recovery until I had enough pain from the disease that I was willing to do whatever it takes. But he becomes blocked. And now the mental obsession becomes active and it's very, very subtle. I decided to drive into the country to see one of my prospects. I had no intentions of drinking. I also had the notion that I might ... Still no thought of drinking. So this insidious, slow, very slow process of the mental obsession, and I can certainly relate. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve and G from Canada, for getting us started. Great paragraph and great share. Thank you very much. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we're on page 36 in More About Alcoholism, the first paragraph, yet he got drunk again, through one paragraph ending with another sandwich, and decided to have another glass of milk. Who would like to share?
Freya H.
Canada.
Joanne L.
I got Freya H. And there was somebody before Joanne. Who was that?
Marcel F. Canada.
Marcel. Thank you. I got you, Marcel. And Joanne.
Gina A. New Jersey.
A, California.
Doreen S. Texas.
Wait a minute. Who was that from California?
Barbara A. California.
Barbara A. And then who was next?
Dina A.
Jordan. Dina A. I think, did I hear you, Jordan?
Yes, Jordan M.
Jordan? Okay, Jordan L.
Victoria
M. California.
Okay, I heard, was that Devorah? No, California.
Victoria.
Who I heard?
Victoria, yeah.
Oh, Victoria.
Jordan N.
Sorry, yeah. Victoria, and then Doreen. I'll stop there. Victoria, and then was it Doreen N? Okay, we'll stop there because I'm getting confused here. E-E-N. All right, I have Freya H, Marcel F, Joanne L, Barbara A, Dina A, Jordan L, Victoria S, and Doreen. I didn't get your last initial, Doreen, but we'll get it when you share. Everyone mute except Freya H. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning, Mo. Hi, everybody. Mm-hmm. My name is Freya H. I'm really grateful to be a recovered compulsive bulimic restrictor. I am in Colorado. Great opening share. This part of the, this chapter is telling us about the mental obsession, and this particular paragraph goes into so much detail, and it can be kind of hard to understand, like, why is he going to all these little details about, his sandwich and his milk and his, his Tuesday morning, all that stuff. And that's actually so important to do when I'm working with people and they are, have something come up with the food. I have been taught to do right away, to do a slip inventory where we look, just like Jim is looking, look specifically at what was the situation leading up to this event where you picked up, and to look at the thoughts and the feelings and the beliefs and the ideas, because looking back, hindsight is 20/20. Looking back, it's like, I can see things I couldn't see before. And it can be a process to actually admit, especially looking at the thinking, like, oh, what were the lies that my disease was telling me around, justifying a food item or a food behavior, or, oh, I'm just really hungry, I can make this exception, or, oh, this isn't really a red light food, it's maybe a yellow light food, just like, what are the lies that our disease feeds us so that we can, it's like it looks for any loophole. So when we do this kind of inventory, we're like shining a spotlight on, this is how the disease works. And, for me today, there's also this parallel between, like, okay, I'm not going to go to food, but what are the things that I do go to? Which defects of character or, old faulty ideas do I turn to when I'm in that place of, I'm feeling irritated, but for some reason I'm resisting pausing and doing, connecting with my higher power, doing a 10 step, reaching out to my fellows. It's the weirdest thing. It's like every time I do it, every time I do pause, I get so much relief. It really, really works. But for some reason, in the moment of irritation or disturbance, my usual reaction is resistance. So I don't know why, but I just know that the more that I practice this stuff, the more that it really works. And that connecting with my fellows is the hugest relief. So thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
And thank you very much. That is Freya H. from Colorado. Up next is Marcel F., followed by Joanne L. And let us know where you're calling from, Marcel. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada. And thank you, Mo. And thank you, Steve, for that wonderful lead. First of all, his pride was hurt, and that got him to be restless, irritable, and discontent. And for me, that's always a prelude to relapse. And then going to a bar, oh my goodness, the insanity of it. My equivalent would have been going to an all-you-can-eat or to a bakery or to a drive-thru. But today, thank you, God, I have the gift of food neutrality. But I realize that it is just a daily reprieve, and I can't take it for granted. I am reminded of these three A's, awareness, acceptance, and action. And for me, the action is the pause and surrender. And many times, too, I had failed to enlarge my spiritual life. And I got drunk again or ate again. And I thought, like, how could this possibly have happened? And as the previous speaker mentioned, that slip inventory, it helps me to see what led up to this state of mind. And that thinking that after I had lost the weight, that I've got this, you can have the day off, God, never gets me in a good place. And the inventory, what is the end result? Am I going to turn to food, or am I going to turn to my higher power? And thank God, most days, you know, most always, I turn to my higher power. So thank you for your service. Thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Marcelle F., and she is from Manitoba, Canada. Up next is Joanne L., followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Joanne from Rhode Island.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. I am Joanne, and I am recovered in Rhode Island, the smallest state in the whole union. But let me tell you, the recovery here is big. I just love this. This is one of my most favorite chapters, more about alcoholism. And because this is part of step one, but it's the second part of step one, and that is that our lives had become unmanageable. So that's what was happening here with Fred, with Jim. You know, I love what Steve shared. It was a great job. And the page before on 35 says, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And so that's it. It's it for me in a nutshell. You see, because I've been through this, but if you turn to the page that we're on right now, 36, there's a whole bunch of I's on this page. When I study with somebody, when I go over this, I tell them, what letter do you see on this page the most? And it's the letter I. It's all about the ego in the self. There's 26 I's on this page. And then there's more to come in the pages coming up. So, you know, he was feeling bad for himself. You know, he thought that by going into this bar room that he could sell a car. Well, I was taught when I was going through this that he was a liar. Liar, 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 catch your pants on fire. You know, because these are the lies I can tell myself, too. Oh, you know, it's a beautiful day. And, you know, I'm going to the beach. And I think it's okay, you know, if I go get such and such, or I take this to the beach with me today. It's only one day. See, this is where relapse all begins, okay? And then, you know, when he suddenly the thought came that if he were to put an ounce of whiskey in his milk, it couldn't hurt him on a full stomach. Well, you know something? I used to do this, truly, even with the alcohol. I was bizarre. I was bizarre with the alcohol. I was bizarre with the food. And it took me a long, long time, you know, to get my spiritual growth, to turn everything over to God. It took me years and years because I thought that I could sneak and I could lie with my food. But I couldn't. I couldn't anymore. After years and years, I finally said, that's it. I cannot go on anymore. I don't want to go on anymore. And so it's just like, you know, if I was coming home from work, I'm going to give you another example, and I went grocery shopping, say, the day before, and I spent $100. Well, if I'm coming home from work and I'm heading to that same grocery store, what am I looking for? What is it that I possibly can be looking for? I just got done spending $100. But in the back of my mind, there might have been one thing that I said, oh, maybe I can have that. So I just wanted to say I love this, and I love this chapter. And I hope that if you're new, just keep coming back because you learn these things as you go along. And I'm so grateful for this program. And I'm grateful for you, Mo, for your service. I pass.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. That's Joanne L., and she is from Rhode Island. Up next is Barbara A., followed by Dina A. I think it's A. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo. It's good to hear your voice. It's good to be on this meeting today. This chapter, this paragraph, wow. The anatomy of relapse, he tells us exactly, and so many times. I have done the same thing. He's telling me exactly what is going to cause me to pick up. I related mostly to another sandwich rather than another drink, but I can't imagine walking into a place of work that I once owned and having that, you know, where was the humility of like, wow, it was my, you know, my doing that I lost this business, but not having, you know, having that resentment like we talked about. We talked about ego. We talked about I. I made the decision. Again, not bringing God into this and not reaching out to people. It's been about 9 months of just in and out of relapse and listening to the meeting every day but not sharing, but knowing today that that's part of my recovery. I have to share that experience, strength, and hope of being in relapse, of having to fall to this one more time, of now, yes, I made the decision. The tools are there for me. I chose not to use them. This is such a great program, and it's there for the taking, and it's free. I need to get rid of this, I need to have more, I have a lack of proportion of what this disease can do to me. And I have right before me this beautiful story of how it happens. If I could, recall this and learn to reach out before I pick up, before I start resenting, before I get angry, taking that pause, as people said, this is a great program. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm grateful. And thank you for your service. And thank you for all the shares. I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Barbara A. from California. Up next is Dina A., followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Dina. Let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. Dina A., recovered in New Jersey. Thank you. I am so grateful to be on live and participating in my recovery in that way. And as I was listening on live, which I'm usually not, I'm saying like, nuts, I should have been on tomorrow, because tomorrow is a paragraph that I really want to share on. And as I'm listening, just having this total epiphany. Jim was my seed. 10 years before I joined program, a brother-in-law came in to my house with the book Alcoholics Anonymous, left it in the bathroom. And he was in Overeaters Anonymous. And I was so embarrassed for him that he has to have this book and that addiction. But I was curious, and I picked it up, and I opened to the story. I read the whole story about Jim, closed it. And 10 years later, I was promising myself, this diet is going to work, and if not, I'm going to join Overeaters Anonymous, because I had been watching him for 10 years. And I did something exactly like Jim, prepared 2 diet things to eat, and while the second was warming up, said, I have this bad taste in my mouth from the first one. I'm just going to pop a piece of something that was not dietetic, which now I know is a trigger food for me, into my mouth just to get the taste out. And when I did that, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just like Jim in that book. And that's the day that I joined. And I'm like, Jim is my seed. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I have that mental twist. I have that blank spot in my mind that just cannot access stop button or don't start button. That's me. And now as I'm listening to the paragraph for so many years, I'm just identified with that blank spot, that blank spot, that blank spot. And now, listening to this paragraph, I was like, oh, it's not just a blank spot in a vacuum. I'm listening to the progression. Now, I've read this many times and listened to the progression, but now I'm just changing my story of that blank spot, that blank spot. And after 15 years in recovery, recognize that it's not a blank spot that will jump on me. It starts slowly. It starts when I decide I'm going to run 2 more errands because my daughter's getting married next week, and I'm going to come home and eat my lunch 2 or 3 hours late. Because I could handle that because I've been in recovery a long time. It starts with the little things. It starts with my husband is saying something dumb because I'm in a bad mood. So I'm going to just, feel a little bit superior. It starts with those things. If I don't do a 10th step, if I, those little restlessnesses, and my sponsor has told me there's no such thing as a little. We don't judge a 10th step. There's so much recovery in each one. When I say something's little, I'm doing exactly what Jim was. It's nothing much. Like, I used to own this place. Now I have to work. But it was just like a small irritation, not like a rage or anything. So for me, I'm grateful to be able to say, I didn't recognize it then, but this is me and this is my direction for this day and this week, even 15 years into recovery, for me to enlarge my spiritual life. Because when I fail to do that, I fall right back into patterns just like Jim. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Perfect timing. Dina A. from New Jersey. Up next is Jordan L., followed by Victoria S. Good morning, Jordan. I thought I heard Jordan L. Maybe I didn't. Press star one. All right. Maybe I didn't. All right. Victoria S., are you available?
Hi, Mo. Thank you. Victoria S., calling from California. And grateful to be with you all this morning. I am Jim. Jim's story is my story. And, you know, having a position of great prestige and then how to manage the buildup of my emotions, my allergies, and my obsession and my food addiction and compulsive eating started to, you know, the rapacious predator started to shrink my life and shrink my abilities and rearrange my priorities. And I don't know if I've ever gone back to a place and had a lower position. Actually, I have. So I'm already, unless I've done a four-step, I'm already walking in with a resentment already. I mean, mad at myself and blaming. And before I understand that this is, I'm powerless over this, my disposition with food and alcoholic foods. And before, I mean, working that fourth step, which is the deep 10, I'm still walking around with that kind of low simmering resentment toward the world, toward myself. You know, before I take a fourth step, I'm blaming versus, you know, recovering, enlarging that spiritual life, that spiritual experience where God is invited into all things about me, including transformation. So God bless Jim. And just for today, I'm not going to relapse because that just postpones this work. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you. That's Victoria S. from California. Let me remind everybody where we are before I take Doreen. We're on page 36 in More About Alcoholism, the top of the page, first paragraph, yet he got drunk again through one paragraph, ending another sandwich and decided to have another glass of milk. After I take Doreen, I will take another list of names. Good morning, Doreen.
Good morning, Doreen, grateful compulsive overeater, OMG. I could just list what happened yesterday. Number one, I'm in a very vulnerable place. I am in the midst of step four. My job, I'm basically a bartender. I work in a supermarket giving out samples. Well, they had me do potato chips yesterday. And here I am in the middle of the cake and cookie aisle, and across from me is chips. And here I am. Oh, let me look at the inventory. I'm kind of feeling having some Nutter Butters today, my favorite cookie in the world. I check the inventory levels. There's three left. I look at the shelf. There's none left. That's higher power doing for me what I cannot do for myself. Why? Because I'm feeling sorry for myself that I've been wearing this boot on my foot for my ankle, and I'm getting tired of wearing it. And there's resentment. I'm getting tired of wearing it. Work is bugging me. I have to stand on my feet. Work is bugging me about, oh, when are you going to take it? When are you going to get it off? Blah, 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 blah. And so it's a formula. It's mixing. It's stirring. It's like the cauldron. Eating me alive. Like literally, and then I go to try to get a money order at Walmart, and their money order machine was out. I was like, great. Oh, I'm at Walmart. Maybe they have an inventory of peanut butter. No, I take it and I leave. I talk to God. That's the thing. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? God wasn't in it at all. And then something came to me and said, get in your car, drive home, finish your, I have finished my fourth, so I have to give it away. You have an appointment with your sponsor tomorrow to give it away. You're vulnerable right now. Get the heck out of there. Get a Dodge right now because you know what's going to happen. Because I have done this experiment with food so much. I mean, I could name all the different things. I'll even go to drive-thru, look at the menu, and then leave. Like, it's ridiculous, all the things I've done. So Jim and I are best buds, except he was way long ago and is way died, but I do what Jim does. And I didn't do it yesterday. And you want to know what? I dodged a bullet. This is serious crap. This is serious, and I'm vulnerable still, but I've got God, and I have an appointment today. And most important, and I'll wrap up with this, the main thing that stopped me was I'm scheduled to be a speaker tonight and tell my story. And I'm like, wait a minute. Am I am going to go tell my story? And that's an example of experience, strength, and hope. No, ma'am, you're speaking tomorrow. You're going to be God's vessel tomorrow. So go home. And with that, I will pass. Thanks for letting me share. Great share today.
Thank you very much. That's Doreen N. from Texas. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that's sharing on any of the three meetings. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 36, first paragraph at the top?
Gail
Dolores R. from Cape Cod.
Dolores from Arizona.
Gail Dolores, I got Chicago. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got Dolores. That's all I got. Dolores P. Who else?
Gail F.
Gail? Was that a Gail?
Yes. Gail F. from Chicago.
Okay. I got you. Illinois. Who else?
Kathy R.
Kathy R. Maybe
yes,
one
Cape
more.
Cod.
Who's from Cape Cod?
Kathy R.
Kathy R. All right, let's stop there. Cape Cod. So I have Dolores P., Gail S., Kathy R. I guess there was one other person. Did I miss somebody? All right. Everyone else mute except Dolores P. Good morning, Dolores.
Good morning. It's Dolores T, as in tomato.
Oh, T. Oh, thank you.
Good morning. I'm so grateful to be here and to have an opportunity to speak. It's very competitive. You got to get your finger very quickly to hit the star one. I have not shared here in a long time, but I'm listening, and I heard someone talk about the importance of sharing. So that's what I'm doing this morning. But this is something, this is a paragraph that's really important to me and speaks to me. I was thinking about, you know, how Jim's analyzing. Well, I think I was a little irritated and this, but I'm thinking that he's saying that afterwards. Like, my understanding is he's saying it afterwards, he's thinking back. But at the time, I'm not sure he was even aware of how he was feeling. And that, for me, reminds me of the 10th step, which says we continue to watch for resentment, selfishness. We continue, because I think for me, I'm often not even aware of what I'm feeling and what's irritating me. And I will, like, downplay it. And yet that's why I think step 10 says continue. You know, I was listening to someone the other day talk about how she felt like she was thinking about what's going on with me. And I often forget to do that, but I think that's really important for me as a recovering person, to always be watching for those feelings, because they catch up with me and I often don't realize they're even happening at the time. But then all of a sudden I want to eat. So that's all I wanted to share. Just a reminder for myself that today to try to continue to watch for those things and get rid of them so that I'm not in that vulnerable place where all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I'm, you know, having a chocolate cake. So anyway, that's all I wanted to share. Thank you all for being here this morning and have a wonderful day.
And thank you very much. That's Dolores T. from Arizona. Up next is Gail S., followed by Kathy R. Good morning, Gail. thought I heard a gale. Did I not? Press star one. No, Gail?
Hello? Yes, hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes?
Okay, hi.
Is this Gail?
Hi. Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay, go ahead, hi. Gail.
Okay. Hi, I'm Gail, and recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm just wanting to check in as well because I heard someone say about how important it is to speak at meetings, and I've been kind of hiding out going to meetings, and it's time for me to open my mouth. And I really loved the reading, and I loved the comment in the beginning who shared about the reading, because it really truly reminds me of the mental twist and how we have no defense against it. And I have been in recovery for more than half my life, and I have to say those mental twists have spurred their ugly heads so many times. And so there has been no defense, usually, unless I'm in fit spiritual condition. And I love when we were reading it in the beginning about it really highlights like the serenity prayer to accept what we cannot change and the courage to change the things we can. And he wasn't accepting where he was at, but where was his serenity around having to work for somewhere that he used to own the business? And the other thing it reminds me of is my reactions to my life with my, it's never been for me about the food, the diet, the exercise. It's always been my reactions, my emotional, mental twists, my mental thoughts, my the prattles, my pride, resentment, all of that, and how I use food to stuff it down or to handle it or manage it. And I was never managing my life. I was making it worse by using my drug of choice. So I just wanted to share how important for me this reading really is, and I'm sure to all of us here listening, and I appreciate that I got on this meeting for the first time and heard what I heard. And I just want to end that I was on a meeting yesterday, and I loved what the person shared and said, that willingness is a desperate action, or action in desperation. And for me, I've had to get to such a low bottom to really surrender and to really work the spiritual process or try and get spiritual fit by attending meetings, sharing, doing all the steps and working with others and doing inventories, all of it, a day at a time and in a gentle, loving way. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much. That is Gail S. from Illinois. And up next is Kathy R.
Good morning. This is Kathy R. from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And I am coming back after a relapse. And my sponsor suggested that I start sharing at the meetings. I'm on day 38. And reading this paragraph, it just made me realize myself what happened to me was I was in the hospital. My mother was upstairs dying, and I was in the cafeteria downstairs eating something that I had not eaten. But I was really irritated because one of my sisters was trying to control the whole situation and saying who could visit and who, you know. So really, I was in turmoil and going in and making a decision about what to eat or not eat. It was not a good time to be doing that. And I wasn't spiritually fit enough to press the pause button and step back. So off I go on, as I said, a 3-year relapse. And I'm just wanting to comment on, I feel I've had a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening. And then I'm feeling the miracle of this program and just how grateful I am to be back living in this way of life and being in the steps with my sponsor, and that it does come back. The peace and serenity come back pretty quickly once you start, having entire abstinence. So a day at a time, I know it's a day at a time, but I just want to express my gratitude and comment on the chapter. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Kathy R. from Maine, I think you said. Maine or
Massachusetts?
Massachusetts, M-A. And congratulations on your recovery. All right, we have time for one more share. You're welcome. One more share. Who would like to share?
Nirvana A.
Nirvana. Okay. You're up.
Okay. Thank you, Mo. Like other people shared, I too haven't shared for a long time, so I decided, okay, I will share. So I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict from California. And I always used to stuff my emotions. And then when I couldn't eat, then I had to name my emotions, and I had a hard time naming emotions. And today I paused and I named emotion. And what I do is I treat that emotion like a person, like a friend. And I ask them, well, what is it that you want to tell me? What is it that I need to do? And I find this helpful for me, so it might help other people. So I don't try to stuff it down with food anymore. I welcome it, and I talk to it, and I do a 10th step around it. So with that, I wish everyone a happy Wednesday, and with that, I pass. Thank you, Mo, so much for your service.
Well, thank you very much. That's Nirvana A. from California. Well, we have time for about a two-minute share if somebody would like to jump in there on this paragraph, page 36, the first paragraph.
Courtney J., North Carolina.
Yeah, got you, Courtney. Go ahead.
Oh, I get to start right now. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, great. Courtney here, North Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I'm reminded of Jim with, I used to make these breakfast things, and they were healthy, you know, a nutritionist gave me the recipe, but oh, would I put things on top of them? And, my disease would say, well, you know, some people could eat these things that I'm putting in them, but I can't. But I still, you know, lied my way through that it was a healthy meal. But then I started putting things that weren't abstinent on them for anybody, you know, sugary stuff. So that was a lie and a lie and a lie. What else? Oh, I'm reminded of the SUD, SUDS, one of our wise women in program says, suddenly unimportant decisions. And that would have been him going into that bar. And that would be me going into any bakery, candy store, whatever, you know, fast foods, not even fast food, but the 7-Elevens or whatever. That's a suddenly unimportant seemingly unimportant decision. Yeah, our disease will say, no, that'll be all right this time, right? Let's see what else. Today, I mean, the difference today is I have a spiritual program. Before, my emotions were, I felt fat or skinny. Those were my emotions. And then I learned way back when from my first sponsor, Courtney, fat is not a feeling. I was like, oh. Okay, so that's what I was always living for, is being skinny as I was eating all that I wanted to, because I was one of those who, you know, I wanted what you had but didn't want to give it up, what was making me not be you. I mean somebody in recovery.
Fine.
Anyhow, okay, thanks for doing your service, and I so appreciate this meeting who brought the big book alive to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Courtney J. from North Carolina, for taking us out. Thank you all for the wonderful shares. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Leslie M. from New York to please read A Vision for You. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.